Hi everyone, and welcome to a very, very, very long overdue episode of Press X. We basically burned out on video games, and so we had to take a kind of a while off.
just a little bit of a while.
Yeah, that is basically what happened, let's be fair.
But all the hard work we've been putting in, playing these games.
Yes, it was was so difficult to play these games. It was so hard.
I've played two games since the last one.
The thing is, for me, it got so bad, I actually did not want to look at another game for a while. When you talk to, especially kids these days, they're like, oh, you review video games. They're like, yes, you don't know what it's like. You will, if you enjoy video games, do not become a video games reviewer.
Yeah, you have to see the bad in things. And to be fair, they are some quite bad games.
But you also have to see the good in what's awful.
Well, no, you don't. You just see, if it's bad, it's bad. We're going to call a spade here, aren't we?
Yeah, it's like, you might like see us or read some of our reviews where we do have to put a positive in there somewhere.
Yeah, we've changed how we're going to be doing things. So we're going to dive straight in because we're doing a lot of news now. So what's been happening in the world of video games?
Well, Sega's been a thing again.
Sega's been a thing for a while, but how much of a thing is a thing this time?
On the 30th anniversary of the Mega Drive, Sega have announced a Mega Drive Mini.
Okay, why?
Because they saw Nintendo do well with the NES Mini and the SNES Mini, and they wanted a bit of the pie too.
But couldn't they just do the Master System Mini and then the Mega Drive Mini?
Isn't it the same thing? Am I not getting them mixed up here?
No. I think they're doing the Mega Drive Mini. I think you're right on that. But they had the Master System before the Mega Drive, and that had a lot of games on it that were exclusive to the Master System.
You know, yeah, stuff. But wait for the Mega Drive Mini adapter, similar to the regular adapter that came with the Mega Drive.
Oh, the Master System adapter, yeah. I've got one of those. I've actually got one of those kicking around somewhere. But what about with the Mega Drive Mini? Will they then do the Master System adapter for it, and then they'll do the Mega Drive Mini, Mega CD Mini, and then they'll do the Mega Drive Mini 32X Mini?
Oh, dear.
Then the Dreamcast Mini.
Well, one of the interesting things from this is that they're making a big song of dance out of this, but they already have done this in the past.
Yes.
I remember seeing stuff like Argos and...
I know what you're on about, because we actually got sent one to review ages ago, along with an Atari. It's basically a little console-type thing with infrared controllers, and it has a collection of Mega Drive games already built into the system. That's the one you're on about, isn't it?
But that's what it is. For example, that looks like the Mega Drive.
The thing is, they did actually have a Mega Drive Mini as well. As in a proper dyed-in-the-wool Mega Drive Mini that you could walk around and play.
Yeah, it's...
It was the Mega Drive 3, I think it was.
Yeah, they did have a smaller version of it. Now, what's interesting is that they're actually using the developers from these older systems to make the new one. And apparently that's upset a lot of people. Apparently people were expecting a proper full Sega hands-on Mini Mega Drive, whereas they actually just licensed and out the Sega name to another company who unfortunately don't have a great track record with these kind of things. So at first it was yay, Sega's doing a rare Mini Mega Drive. And now it's like, oh no, they've kind of just licensed it out to these ones who kind of just do the cheap cash-in ones.
So
this is going to be the Christmas dash present, is it?
I've got to ask, is this different from, say, the Mega Drive handheld that they released a few years ago?
I think it's just going to have different games on.
Okay, and is this one that you plug into your TV, or is it like a portable gaming system?
I think it's one you plug into the TV. It sounds like they're trying to go with, like, you know, the Mini NES and the Mini SNES.
All right.
It's just a little box with, you plug it into the USB, and you plug it into the HDMI port, and then you just switch it on, and you've got a handful of... titles already loaded on there.
So
I think it's kind of just the same thing as that, really.
They're going to put the plug with this one, though, because Nintendo had a habit of not putting the actual plug with the console.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I had a look at one of those Commodore 64 ones, and they didn't put the plug in either, so I'm not going to expect them to actually put a plug in. It's probably just going to be the usual USB powered.
I've got a question. Why would you buy this console when you can basically buy on the PS3, you can buy the Mega Drive collection on disc and you can play it on your PS3 and you don't need to have an extra games console or anything like that. Yeah. You just basically just play the game.
Don't forget though as well, in the next few months, a Mega Drive collection is coming to the PS4. So it doesn't make too much sense.
Yeah, that was something that I couldn't understand, because more or less in the same vein, they've announced that they're doing a collection for the Switch. So it's kind of like, so you're going to have the PS4 version, you're going to have the Xbox version, and you're going to have the Switch version, and you're going to be like, well, the Switch one's going to already be handheld anyway, so...
Yeah, but on top of that, I mean, as I said, the Mega Drive 3 was basically the Mega Drive Mini already. It was basically a console on a chip. I found this, right, just... This is the Center for Computing History, and this is what they've written about the Mega Drive 3. The Mega Drive 3 is a console on a chip manufactured by Lightstar/UMC in 2000. According to the system itself, it was manufactured under license from Sega, although the production values are very unprofessional. The console doubles up as a controller, which can be plugged into a TV, and the unit itself is a similar shape to the Tectoy Master System Handy. So that was one version of the Mega Drive 3. There was the Genesis version, which was like a tiny, it was a much smaller version of the Sega Genesis. It was almost the same, it was just a little bit wider than an actual Mega Drive cartridge. Here's a picture of the one that I'm talking about from years ago.
I think it's the same guys who made that.
That's the other Mega Drive 3, there's two versions of it.
Yeah, and that one obviously could play the original games as well.
Yeah. And this was the other version. This was the handled version that plugged into the TV.
Oh wow!
Oh,
do you see what I mean? So there's
that N64 controller type thing.
Yeah. So there's been a couple of things like this already. So
yeah.
I'm not sure whether this. The thing is, it's been 18 years since that. So I'm not sure whether the, because I know nostalgia sells a lot of stuff.
Well. It's kind of one of those things. Sega's got quite a bit of nostalgia going for them. So I think it might do them quite well. I mean, it worked for Nintendo, didn't it? So, well, either way, whether it does good or not, at least we're going to have Shenmue 1 and 2 re-released.
Yes, Shenmue 1 and 2 is getting the re-release, which we all knew was going to happen.
Now I can care about part 3.
Well, this is the thing that I never really understood. Because Shenmue 3, right, is very much a labour of love. And a lot of people have suddenly become Shenmue fans who've never played the original game until it was announced at E3 with the big song and dance and everything like that. They kind of wondered, what was all the fuss? Maybe they've gone back and played Shenmue, and maybe they've enjoyed it, maybe they haven't. But for those of us who had Dreamcasts and actually played the original game at the time, the reason why it was special for us is because for a lot of us, we actually kind of remembered the time it was set in, which was the mid-80s. Do you see what I mean? And that was when we, you know, the Western world was starting to become fascinated. We'd been fascinated for a long time, for a couple of decades, with martial arts movies and martial arts. But this was something that was kind of dyed in the wool. You were playing a story that had these hidden depths to it that you didn't actually understand in terms of the narrative. And it was like you were playing one of these old-school martial arts films. But you were playing it as a game. That was kind of the first time we actually had something like that. And so for a lot of us, that was the special nature of it, was we wanted something like that for all of this time. We just didn't realise it until Shenmue came out.
Yeah.
Yes, so more recently now, there was a game that got released a few weeks ago called Far Cry 5.
Oh.
You know, that ever so popular game where you spend hours upon hours just doing random tasks before you actually continue with the story. The game has caused an online outcry, so to speak, and I feel that this is pushing more towards the citizens of America, because it says, normally set in exotic and fictional locations, the latest installment of the game has caused an online controversy, as the time the game is set in rural Montana, and the bad guys are Americans.
Yep.
So it's perfectly fine to wage a war against basically a dictator in a foreign country, but when it's their own, it's pretty much an insult, basically. It's silly. I never thought I'd make this comparison between two completely different games, but there's Far Cry 5, and we all know, if you've even seen the trailer, you don't have to have played it. We all know the type of violence and things.
Yeah.
The type of plot line. But when we had, here we go, when we had The Getaway.
Yeah.
And it was against a crime lord, and to be fair, it was basically the same premise, but on a much smaller scale. We didn't go, oh, that's our crime lord. It's quite offensive that we're killing him.
Oh, no, no. It gets even better than that. This is the beautiful thing. It's okay for them to have games where American soldiers go into other countries and basically blow all sorts of crap up and shoot loads of people, right? Mm. It's okay for that to happen. But as soon as it's the other way, no, 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 no. Because remember, Command & Conquer got all sorts of crap for having the invasion of the United States. Then there was, what was it, Homefront Revolution, which also got loads of crap for basically having this idea that America had been invaded and taken over. There was the which Call of Duty was it? The one where America got bombed?
Probably the third one.
Oh, was it Battlefield? I can't remember.
I remember the year, the one in the airport. That was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, I think.
No, no, no. It was, I can't remember. It was, was it Advanced Warfare? I can't remember. It was one of the Call of Duty games, and the idea was that there was a massive catastrophe that affected North America, and basically you had these other foreign powers that were now trying to invade what was left of America.
It reminds us of Assassin's Creed 3. That was all in America, but it wasn't. You weren't fighting the Americans, you were fighting the filthy British. The evil, evil British who were trying to take their land from them.
But yeah, half the stuff that comes out from Japan, you know, especially all the fan service stuff like Senua and Kagura and stuff like that, you put that in the Bible Belt, there's got to be hell to pay. And they know all about hell.
Yeah, I've got the Girls and Panzer game, and I can just try and see, I can just see that trying to sway with the Americans. Oh, well, you're the Japanese and you've got to blow up American tanks. How dare you?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
Dare you?
What's next, Andy?
This is quite a unique one. Minecraft. Okay. Play it with your eyes.
Okay, how?
Well, this is a UK-based gamers charity called Special Effect.
Ah, and yeah, we know Special Effect. They do some amazing work.
Mm. And today, they've released what they call an open-source iMine software. iMine being one word.
Yeah.
And what it does is lets people with physical disabilities play Minecraft with their eyes. And basically, they have the options on the screen and whatever they look at, for example, look for the building or to move or anything, will happen on the screen. And looking at it, it looks really like it's something that could really change, like, gaming for those with disabilities. For example, you could be one day getting beat online at a game with somebody using their eyes.
The technology for eye movement doing something has been around for a while. Stephen Hawking was using it for many years in order to speak to people, you know, in order to communicate, because he couldn't move his hands or his head, could he? And so he had to use his eyes, and he basically formed the words on the screen from, like, using predictive text, and he got really good at it. The technology's been there for this sort of thing, but, you know, that's been with words. Video games are a lot more complex. Especially something like Minecraft.
It looks really promising, though.
Can you imagine, though, if you're playing a first-person shooter, say you've got your mouse and keyboard set up or whatever setup you want for a first-person shooter, but your eyes are also playing a part in it. That's crazy, isn't it?
I think you'd have the advantage if you used this and you could use your arms as well, though.
Yeah, but what if you had an auto-targeting system where it could, where if you just looked at something and winked at it, it'd have, you know, it'd get blown up? Gives you meaning to the whole, you know, that whole 80s thing, the wink and the gun, where they look at you, look at someone, point at them and go... Imagine that as an actual video game move. That would be terrifying.
That would be absolutely terrifying, that.
The other thing that actually... Because there was a thing I saw on Gizmodo. Remember when we did that discussion about VR, Andy, ages ago? There's a thing on Gizmodo asking about whether the virtual world in Ready Player One could be a thing. whether it could actually exist. And it's a thing that has been posited in sci-fi fiction and sci-fi fantasy for many years. I mean, Summer Wars had something similar to it. I know the Korean light novel stuff like The Legendary Moonlight Sculptor and stuff like that have had things like it already. Maybe they're like discrete worlds, but it's actually an enclosed world, an enclosed virtual reality. So they've not had something like Ready Player One's massive, all these different things where it becomes a central hub. That's more Summer Wars type thing. But they've had like discrete worlds of virtual reality where you go and you basically take on a role and play games in a virtual world.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
And there is scope for stuff like that because we already have things like that in existence now. They're called MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can work out a way to basically do VR with MMOs, then you've basically got a discrete world. And if you can you imagine the eye-tracking software with VR?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's one, there's like a VR Second Life type of thing on any PC VR now.
See, you've said that, so now stop there. We know what happened to Second Life. We don't need anymore.
No, there's like a VR. It's not Second Life, but it's like...
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Like, go to live events and see comedy and stuff like that in your VR headset with your avatar.
Okay, you can go to live events and see comedy and stuff like that.
Mm.
It's the stuff like that that I'm worried about.
I'm going to move onwards from playing games with your eyes to the world of Senran Kagura. Marvelous have announced that Shinobi Reflé Senran Kagura will actually be heading to the West. Now, this is quite a surprise to a lot of people because this is a unique Nintendo Switch game. And rather than the usual Senran Kagura game where you're running around hacking and slashing people or shooting each other with water guns or having weird cooking contests,
or dropping them over a drum and then using their butt as a drum.
Well, we might be able to do that in this one. We're not 100% sure. But this is going to use the Joy-Cons in a unique way.
Oh, God, no.
That sounds sinister. I haven't heard of this game, and this sounds really sinister.
It's essentially a visual novel in which you use the unique properties of the Joy-Con to employ the art of reflexology and massage.
Hang on. Is this like that milking game?
Yes. You know where they've advertised with, the Nintendo Switch where you can really feel stuff?
Oh, no.
You can milk stuff.
Oh, no.
Scientists have concocted a new Senran Kagura game based on that, where you can really feel things.
Oh, no.
And
no,
that's not
no,
just a Xenoblade
no.
reference. You are really going to start feeling it. Melt away Asuka's worries and stresses by hand or through a variety of useful tools and explore deeper relationships that have ever been possible in the series before. The advanced HD Rumble technology provides a more realistic sense of interaction.
God, no.
And feeling with Asuka, helping guide players to react to her signals and deliver some much-needed relaxation.
Oh. In brackets at the end, Joy-Con grips recommended.
Oh, he went there.
Have okayed this. Nintendo
you ruined
just
my
been,
moment.
Like, just went, yeah,
of course
fine.
They have, it's Nintendo.
You ruined my
Nintendo
moment.
Nintendo will okay anything, as long as you don't use it on like YouTube or anything.
Oh no, it's getting used on YouTube. Have you seen some of the stuff that's been creeping onto YouTube?
Oh no. But honestly, this is part of this is like, why? But the other part of this is like, I do really like Senran Kagura games.
Yes, we know, Mark. You dirty, dirty boy.
I was genuinely going to say this is a game you probably have to get the grips with, but I won't use that reference anymore.
It's very easy to handle.
Yes, just make sure that you have firm control over every single movement.
So just think how we could parallel that technology with what we've seen before.
No.
Minecraft one. You can play this game with just your eyes.
No, 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 no.
That's coming out later on. That's coming out in the summer. So you're going to have some hot, relaxing days.
No, no, no. Anyway, what we got last? Let's leave this den of iniquity.
I don't know how to compete with that. Anyway, on from one weird game to another. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah. Hasn't there been like some feud between them and Fortnite been going on for ages?
Yeah, although it would be ironic to settle it in a battle royale.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds say, oh, we're the ones who came up with the battle royale. You're like, no, I think you'll find a battle royale has been around for a while. There is even a manga called Battle Royale, which was turned into a movie called Battle Royale. So how the hell do you have license to the term battle royale when they were there before you were, and they're just called Battle Royale, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds?
Well,
which isn't the story that you've got.
Well, this is also another comparison, which I never thought I'd be talking about in a show. I never thought I'd make ever.
Okay.
And basically, does anybody remember the ransomware that, basically the NHS thing that happened last year?
Yeah.
Well, there's a new type of ransomware which will lock your files in a similar manner, and if infected with this, you will have to play an hour of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds to un-decrypt all your files.
Whoa. hang on. Did PUBG just U2 everyone's PCs?
It's a good promotional method, I'll admit that.
No, it isn't, because it didn't work for U2 with their album on the iPhones.
But anyway, this, obviously it's meant as a joke. This, it says it won't, for example, lose your files in a certain amount of time. And you can, if you're computer savvy, rename the files and get them back anyway. Whoa. So it's not as sinister as...
You shouldn't need to, though. And who released this? Was it PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds?
Says the ransomware was discovered by Malware Hunter Team.
Okay.
So it didn't actually say who actually distributed it.
but it's a good bet. It's either a fan of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, or it's somebody who's linked to them in some way.
Mm.
It's probably a Windows update file.
Yeah, the big screen that comes up is your files. Well, to be fair, there's got a real bad, they're not very good with English, because the thing that pops up is, your files is encrypted by PUBG ransomware.
So
but
if you...
worry, it is well, and then I can't read that because it's in front of the PUBG picture, but you can unlock your files, just play PUBG, or something code is this, and you'll put the code in. So it looks like they've actually given you the code anyway, but... So it looked like a joke, but it's quite funny.
I'd say, see, for me, that would be more annoying than annoying, and I would want to find whoever did it and tear them a new one.
Is it very bad, though, that even if they didn't give you the code, I'd rather pay the money?
No, I would literally tear them a new one, then take their arms and legs and shove them into the new one, and then, you know, basically toss them in the wood chipper, because that sort of thing would annoy the crap out of me.
should have been a better game like E.T. or something.
No, I mean, if you're going to force me to play a game, right? If you're going to force me to play a game, at least make it a good game. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, I've played it. It's not a good game. At least in Fortnite, you get to make forts. You show me one person who does not like to make a fort. It doesn't exist. That person does not exist in this world. And if they did, they are obviously the Antichrist.
this could just continue. This could spiral out of control. Make sure Asuka and Senran Kagura is extremely relaxed. Then you get your files back. Plus a court order. It could just really, really do some damage to people.
No, but seriously, guys, if you were going to be forced to play any game in this sort of situation, what would you want to play?
I'd say something like Super Mario World or maybe Link to the Past. Something that's quite easy to get a grips to and you don't mind wasting an hour with.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair point.
Probably something RPG-like. Like, for example, Far Cry. You can just get past the tutorial and that's an hour done.
Oh, they could make it really sinister, though. Imagine they're going to be like, get to level 100 in Dragon Quest, fighting only blue slimes.
For me, I don't know, I'd go for a sports game. I'd just go for, you know, a football game or a basketball game or something like that. Something that's easy to pick up and play and just dive straight in and just have fun with it.
Mm.
Just like you said. I wouldn't choose something like Zelda, maybe Super Mario. I find platformers to be kind of boring unless they've actually got some hook like Oddworld or something like that, where it was just bizarre and weird, and I had fun with it.
Yeah.
Whereas Mario is just basically run, jump, jump on his head, jump on his head, jump on his head again. Oh, I'll eat this mushroom. Everything's gone trippy. I ate the wrong mushroom.
You do some like Civilization. Imagine you'd say, you only have to play for an hour, but I just want to play more.
I was going to say, you don't do Civilization. You don't do Civilization or Age of Empires or any RTS in that sort of situation, especially not ones where you have to build stuff.
Anyways, are we going to wrap things up here?
We're wrapping things up there. So anyway, welcome to the new form of Press X. This will be a fortnightly show, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more things that have been happening in the world of video games, and we'll also be talking a bit after that on an additional show about some of the games we've played over the last month, but that will be a monthly thing, so look forward to that as well. Until then, you can find us on thegeekshow.co.uk, where you'll find our Patreon. So see you next time. Until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Mark.
We'll see you all later.
Bye!